So for this session, we have Andrea and Michelle talking us through the introduction to this second of our breakout discussions. And this topic, and this it really is a very old English phrase, a hoary old chestnut. And for those of you who do not understand, that means, I think as I said before, something that has raised its head, has been something that we have discussed or has been discussed for a long time. But I think that the title is very apt in terms of perceptions about timeliness. And as you will see from the paper, some of the key issues that we're talking about is, what do we mean by timeliness? And in fact, the question, do we have actually an issue about timeliness, or is that what is necessary to deliver what we want to deliver? So then obviously the key around, if we do have that, how do we balance then the timeliness with our stakeholder engagement? And what we're hoping is that by carefully analysing that meaning of timeliness, our discussions will be able to pinpoint some areas where we can become more effective in that balancing act, or perhaps to communicate better about that balancing act. So I think on that note, I would pass over to Andrea and Michelle to take us through the introduction.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start the discussion, and then Andrea will talk about the due process session before I wrap up the discussion on stakeholder engagement. I appreciate that we're quite a long way behind timetable, so I've promised to Joanna that we'll try as hard to move through these slides, so you've got plenty of time in your breakout groups to discuss them. So as Joanna said in her introduction, this is about the perceptions, and we're looking at some of the feedback that came from the reputation survey. So this kind of follows on from some of the discussion we had last time I was here, when we were talking about the work we'd done with the emerging economies and to address some of the issues there. So we know the reputation survey actually had a lot of positive things about us, our transparency, our independence. However, it raised this point about timeliness. So we were seen as being successful in harmonising the standards. We were highly rated for our transparency and our independence. But there was this area around our timeliness and our processes around that. So when we started to look at this, we found that we thought, well, there were some questions around the due process and the balance of due process and timeliness. There were some questions around stakeholder engagement and the effectiveness of our engagement. But we were quite clear that without our due process and our stakeholder engagement, we wouldn't get the transparency, the independence, and the support for us. So this slide kind of sets out our thinking that the need for our due process and our stakeholder engagement to give us the positive outcomes, but they do take time. And so we wanted to talk to you about those three areas, and I'm going to move on because Joanna's already outlined this. So the first thing Andrea and I did was we started to think about timeliness, and we were looking at what the consultation had said about timeliness, and we were trying to work out what people were really saying to us about timeliness. And we came up with three sort of areas. The first one was about achieving our target dates. And we get feedback that there isn't, on our work plan, we're not achieving our target dates. We get feedback about how long it takes us to do things, the length of our process. And then we get feedback about, do we respond quickly? So we decided to have a little bit of a think about each of one of those issues. And so the first one was the challenges of setting our target dates. And one of the things Andrea and I found was, as a management team, we do a lot of resource management. Andrea looks a lot at looking at the right staff. Have we got the right talent? Have we got the right expertise? Have we got the right levels of staff? Have we got enough geographical balance of staff? We do a lot around project plans. We've done an awful lot about re-engineering our project plans, carefully working out what are topics we need to take to the board to get board decisions on, how we need to research those topics, how we need to formulate the ideas. And with all of that, we make sure we're adhering to our due process. So that's the kind of blue stuff in the inner circle. But on the outside is the board's decision-making processes, the board's deliberations, where we consult, we get the feedback, we analyse it, and the re-deliberations. And although we can try as hard as possible to reach out at the right time, to try and predict what answers we're going to get, at each stage, we can't. Because if the board comes up with a gives us a direction of staff that we weren't expecting, we have to go back to our project plans. We have to think about our project plans again. We have to redo the timing. So setting target dates, because we have some of these unknown variables, and although we try to manage them, can be quite difficult. And then we looked at the length of the process, and this slide is really one of Andrea's slides, and it talks about the length of the process for IFRS 17. And somebody told me this wasn't a very fair slide to put here because 17 took so long, but then somebody else told me that it was a fair slide to put here because actually leases only took a little bit shorter. And so I was thinking when I was preparing these slides, you know, even if we get a quite a simple issue that we receive, we still need to do some problem definition. We need, as staff, to understand that problem. We need to probably do some outreach to understand that problem. And then we need to take it to the Interpretations Committee. And they may want to discuss it a few times before they decide whether to do something. Then we have the whole balloting process of an exposure draft before we go out for comment, and we have the comment period, before we analyse the comments, and then we get the feedback to the Interpretations Committee, which might take, you know, several discussions, and then we could issue a final document. And even if we did that, which is probably the minimum we would do, we would be talking about 9 steps. So I think our process and the length is pretty fixed in some ways. And then finally, we looked at responding to requests, and we focused on some of the work that the Interpretations Committee has done, because they've been very successful, I think, in developing their agenda decisions. And we spoke about them in the last session. But this slide just shows that how many meetings there were last year, the number of agenda decisions that were issued, and actually only a few issues were moved to the board. So in the groups, we're going to ask you to think about the timeliness and the thoughts that Andrea and I had. But we thought it might be interesting, before you have your discussions in the group, to have a show of hands. I don't know if Joe wants to...
You do it.
I'll do it. Okay. So I think it's a show of bats here, isn't it?
Yes.
So on slide 10, we have these questions. What do you think timeliness means? Do you think it means the achievement of our target dates? Do you think people are referring to the length of our process and the time we need to develop our standards? Do you think people are commenting on our responsiveness, how we address emerging issues? Do you think it's all of those things above, or do you think it's something else? So I'm going to ask for those people who think it's one, the achievement of our dates, to raise their bats. Andrea's got her pen. Just one, I think. I got the wrong glasses on, actually. Do we think it's the length of our process? 1, 2, 3, 4? 4? 5? Do you think it's our responsiveness? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's all of those things? Right, okay. Or do you think it's something else? We'll leave this something else to the groups, and we can feedback that one. Okay, so with that, I'm going to hand over to Andrea, and we're going to look at the due process.
Okay, so as you've indicated, there's a number of different meanings attached to the word timeliness, and in February, in fact, we did acknowledge that there were a number of areas that we proposed to tackle, and we set out our plans to do this, and that's underway. We're looking at this as we go. And the main focus there is to address concerns we had heard that the process is slow, and to address the perceived delays in the standard, mostly by giving better information, by not giving information where there was no information that was reliable, and trying to give you a better sense of, or you and the public at large, a better sense of where we are and what we think is realistic. So at this meeting, sorry, I'm on slide 13, what we're asking is for your advice on two specific aspects of timeliness, on how we should achieve a balance between timeliness and due process, and this interacts with the session we had earlier and one of the sessions you have later as well on comment letters, between timeliness and stakeholder engagement. So moving to slide 15, let's look first at the interaction between timeliness, by which I mean today in the sense of the time needed to develop standards, and our due process. So as Alan explained earlier this morning, the due process requirements for the IFRS Foundation are set out in the due process handbook, and they are principles based and built on the principles of transparency, full and fair consultation with all affected parties, and accountability. So our due process is obviously much more than a tick box exercise for us. It supports our legitimacy and it's an integral part of what we do. And this is partly because there isn't a single body that can confer that legitimacy on us by requiring IFRS standards all over the world. And so we need to take our due process seriously to get that legitimacy for ourselves. However, there's always a danger of process taking over, and you've heard some of the tensions that were discussed about that earlier today. And so the due process handbook explicitly states that the purpose of the due process is to enhance rather than to impede the efficient and effective development of the standards. So on slide 16, we heard in the reputation survey that just under half of those surveyed believe that there's an imbalance between our due process requirements and the speed of standard setting, with most of the remainder either thinking that it's a good balance or that the balance is neither good nor bad. On slide 17, you'll see that inevitably due process does add to the time taken to develop a standard, and this is a consequence of having this open and transparent due process. The ISB board's not a group of people who simply make decisions in isolation, as you know, and so the due process handbook sets out a number of minimum consultation requirements, including the requirement for public consultation on the work programme, the requirement for consultation with specific bodies before adding projects to the work programme, as we discussed earlier, the requirement to publish consultation documents at all in the form of exposure drafts, and also minimum comment letter periods for the consultation documents. So on slide 18, you see that these requirements, the handbook explains that these requirements reflect this pivotal role that the comment letters play in the deliberations process of the ISB and the Interpretations Committee, because they're an opportunity to get a considered public response to standard setting proposals. In other words, the comment letters allow the respondents' analysis of issues and their evidence to be set on the public record. And then in evaluating that response, the ISB considers the strength of the analysis and the evidence supporting that analysis, assisted through public staff papers, and then the basis for the ISB's decisions are set out publicly in the basis of conclusions, which adds to the accountability. So I'm not going to talk about the comment letters themselves in detail, because they've got a separate session on that, which will focus on the nature of the feedback we get through that process. At this stage, we want only really to discuss the time allowed for that response to be received. This is because in slide 19, we heard that the reputation survey identified that the length of the comment periods was an area that we could consider, suggesting that it could be reduced. And slide 19 just sets out what the minimum comment letter periods are in the due process handbook. But the board discusses whether to allow more than that or whether to ask for a reduction in that, depending on the specifics of the document being consulted on and the nature of the issues. Moving on to slide 20. As you'll hear in more detail later in the session and comment letters, there's a number of supplementary activities that the ISB and staff undertake during comment periods, but there's also a number of activities that stakeholders wish to undertake to make sure that a considered and well thought through response is received by the ISB in response to these consultation documents. It includes something as basic as translation of the consultation documents into other languages to allow a bigger audience to consider the proposals, In most jurisdictions, there's typically also a jurisdictional outreach and debate which is aimed at developing a high-quality response to our proposals. And the time allowed for comment letters has been set in a way that allows the time needed for these activities to be conducted effectively. And in fact, we often get asked for extensions to comment letter periods because something hasn't quite happened in the time that we've already allowed, taking into account things like international holidays and other constraints. So in your groups, the question we're going to be asking you to consider when we go to those groups is to think about due process and timeliness. And I think it would be useful to consider in your discussions both the question about comment letter periods, though we're also interested in other thoughts you have about other due process requirements that you have come across or in fact we've already discussed earlier today. Michelle?
Okay, so as Andrea said, the second area we wanted to talk to you about was the stakeholder engagement. So on slide 23, I've set out the overview of how the board engages. And I think it's fair to say that the two subjects are not mutually exclusive. Obviously, our engagement is a key part of our due process. So we are engaged on our due process documents. All our board and committee discussions are held in public, which allows people to follow the board's thinking, its rationale, its logic. We hold a number of roundtable discussions, or we hold our conferences, or we attend conferences where we're reaching out to stakeholders' groups. We may hold one-to-one meetings. We might meet with industry groups or with industry experts on particular topics. Our website is absolutely full of outreach material and supporting documentation, especially around our new standards. We have discussions with our various stakeholder groups, so our academics, we have the investor groups, our regulators, and the national standard setters. And on top of that, we have all of our consultative groups. So on slide 24, I've outlined all of the various consultative groups that we have. At the moment, we have three transition resource groups, insurance, revenue, and impairment. And we have project groups for rate regulation and for the management commentary practice statement. But for these groups to be effective, we really need to make sure we have really good quality members, we have effective chairs, we have a really clear agenda, and that we have a feedback loop. But all of that needs resource, and it needs both admin resource and it needs both technical resource for us to make those groups and for us to really value the input that we get from those groups. So there are really quite time intensive, those groups. So what did we hear about stakeholder engagement in the reputation survey? Well, we heard some really good things, that it was very professional, the documents were viewed as being very professional, well researched. We heard that the ISB listens. We heard that we were seen to have a mandate for engagement. There were some questions about the balance, and we discussed that back in February when we heard that emerging economies didn't feel well balanced. We always have challenges with engaging with users and finding users that want to engage. And we heard that we are sometimes slow, and we've been talking about the length of the process. But what were the suggestions that came in the survey? Well, they all started with the word more. More dialogue, more transparency, more training. So more face-to-face meetings. Some people believe that individual meetings or small group meetings are perhaps more effective than our conferences. Some people feel that we could focus effort on a smaller group, but that wouldn't give us the quantum. We have, as Andrea outlined, tried to look at the transparency. So we do now give updates to the board in their public meetings on what we call the dark periods, where we're in the balloting process, so we keep the board updated. We've done a bit more around updating the board about feedback from the consultative groups. And we're looking at our training needs as well. So some of the other things we've done, as I said before, we have done a lot with the Emerging Economies group. We've also dedicated staff resource to certain groups. So we have a group that looks after investors, a group that looks after national standard setters, and we've done more planning around regulators. And we have tried to build on some of our existing relationships so that we can leverage our engagement with those relationships. Some of the suggestions that we've had is that we should do more engagement before we issue a due process document. But if we do more engagement before we issue a due process document, I don't think that necessarily means that we'll speed up or shorten the length of the process, because we're still doing the same quantum of engagement. And some argue that this might be less inclusive because a due process document is there, it's available, and people comment on it, and we have the comment letter process. I've talked about the one-to-one meetings. Some of the things we've been thinking about as well is thinking about stakeholder engagement at two levels, one being who, when, and why, and then the second one being at what we would call our outreach objective, which would more look at what are we trying to do at this level, at this time. Are we trying to initiate new ideas? Are we trying to get some initial feedback on proposals? Are we trying to find alternative views? Or is this a kind of consensus building where the board's already got some decisions and we're trying to make sure that we can enrich the debate around those decisions? Or is this just an educational meeting? So in the groups, what we're thinking that we would like you to discuss is our challenge is to balance the importance of stakeholder engagement with being timely and the available resources that we had. I think there would be few ISB staff, if I said, do you want to fly off here and do so-and-so, that would say no. But we have to balance our resources. So the questions we're asking is, do you think we have the appropriate balance between stakeholder engagement and being timely? And what ideas do you have for improving our perceptions around stakeholder engagement? So we are going to suggest you do in the groups is that you tackle the timeliness question, which is on slide 10, or actually they're all here, so the question that's on slide 10 first, and you maybe spend 10 to 15 minutes. If you're in a group that includes Neely or myself, then we are suggesting that you start with the question on slide 29 about stakeholder engagement and then move on to the question about due process on slide 21. If you're in a group that includes Andrea or Henry, we suggest you do it the other way round. That way we'll just make sure both questions hopefully get an equal balance of time with them. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Jo.
Thank you very much, Michelle and Andrea. And I have to say that I think that these 30 slides and the presentation here has given us absolutely superb analysis, and well done for doing the analysis yourselves, but to allow us to debate the topic around with that really great insight into those areas. So, again, thank you for that. And Michelle has suggested how we break into the groups. So everybody deals with the question on timeliness first, and then, and I'm not sure what groups they are, but if you've got Michelle, you're dealing with slide 29 first. If you have Andrea or Henry, you are doing with the questions on slide 21 first. Hopefully we can do all three, but that should be the focus on those slides. Before we break into those sessions, is there anything, and Suresh has a comment, a general comment in plenary session. Suresh.
Thanks, Andrea. Is there any particular standard that has achieved the shortest cycle time? And in that process, how much time you spend in each of them? If you can just give us some model, which is the best that you have got from a fastness point of view, that will help as a model for us to debate.
Andrea, let Hans answer it. Okay. He wants to.
He was jumping up and down.
During the financial crisis, when Europe sort of forced us to change IAS 39, things went very fast. But that was an exceptional situation, of course.
Thank you, Hans. Anything else? Yes, Giuseppe.
Have you ever attempted to find representative benchmarks? Because when one says that it's too fast or too slow, I would also like to ask with respect to what? As an investment manager, I always like to find benchmarks. Maybe they are difficult to come by, but have you attempted something?
Do you want to respond to that now or suggest that the team talks about it, Giuseppe's group talks about it in their group? Yep, talk about it in your group. Around that may be a recommendation. Gavin, do you want to make a comment? No. So perhaps just talk about that. I think it's a very good point, but to raise it and consider it in the groups.